So we've been discussing some inyani mila, so we review and continue. So the Torah tells us, "Uvayom hashmini yimo besar alaso." The Torah tells us, as we all know, on the eighth day, all things being equal, one is obligated to gemal the son. What happens if day eight falls out on Shabbos? That's what the Gemara learns out. Uvayom. So number one, uvayom, we learn out that the bris must be done during the daytime. And even though there's an opinion in the Gemara that after day eight you could do it any time, that's not the opinion we follow. So any time a bris is done at night, it's a no-go. And therefore, one would need to do hatafas dam bris. If they did a bris at night, mistakenly, you'd have to go and take some dam out in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But another thing the Gemara learns out, u'b'yom afil b'Shabbos. However, even if day eight falls out on Shabbos, one is obligated to do the bris milah. And even if it's Shabbos Yom Kippur, which we have, it doesn't any every day of the year. If you have a healthy day eight baby, one is obligated. It doesn't make a difference what day of the year it is. There isn't a day where one does not do bris milah. So we learn now to exclude nighttime and also anytime before day eight is no good either. You would also have to do hatafas dam bris. So we exclude before day eight, and we exclude night, and one is even obligated to do it on Shabbos, which is a chiddush, because before that, one would know that. In fact, that's why we learned it out from Parashas Tazria after the Torah was given, because we learned it out from Parashas Lech Lecha Vayera. I say it was before the Torah was given, so that's why you could do it on Shabbos. But in generally, all things being equal, if there was no mitzvah of milah, you'd be prohibited, number one, from doing it, because you're not allowed to cause damage to oneself. In fact, that's the famous question they ask. If Avram Avinu, if the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the Avos, that Avram kept the Torah before it was given, so how come by the mitzvah of Milah he waited for a commandment? So there are many answers. One answer is that because it's a bris, so by definition, it's a partnership. You can't make a business deal with yourself. You can, but it's not going to help. It's not going to be binding on anyone else. Avram can't do a bris on his own. You need two partners. So it was God and Avraham. Or as the Vilna Gaon points out, Gado haMitzuva v'yosa, that even though it's true one could volunteer mitzvahs, but it's much greater, as counterintuitive as it sounds. One would say it's better. Not is it better to wait for your parents to tell you to throw out the garbage or to do it yourself? So, from a certain level, volunteering is a higher level. But what does the Gemara mean? It's greater to do something you're commanded, because it's much harder to do. No one likes to being told what you're told to do. It starts as a kid. That's child psychology. You start telling them the opposite, and in order that they'll listen to you. Of course, at a certain time, there's a mitzvah of chinuch. You have to teach the kids to listen to you, not listen to you. But it's always harder to do something when you have to do it. So therefore, that's why it's a greater reward to be commanded and do it. So if that's the case, so why did they volunteer any commandment? This way for all commandments. So the answer is, by putting on talis or tefillin today, it's irrelevant whether I do it tomorrow or the next day. It doesn't interfere with my mitzvah tomorrow. But bris milah you only could do one time. So therefore, if you're going to do it one time, do it properly, i.e. the best time is after the commandment. And another reason given is because he was prohibited to do it. Because how could Avram do it? You can't. The only reason we're allowed to do the mitzvah of milah, that's why in fact in Frisco, they have lawsuits against parents that who do circumcisions on their kids, because how could you do that to your child? But that they would be right, perhaps, if there was no mitzvah of milah. The only reason we're allowed to do a mitzvah of milah is because God commanded us. You can't go ahead and do a milah on yourself, and you certainly can't do a milah on someone else if there wasn't a commandment, because it'd be violating chovel b'atzmo. So either way, therefore there's a mitzvah to do it. On Shabbos, we have to learn out from after the Torah was given. So that's the halacha. One does a bris milah on Shabbos if you have a healthy day a baby. So if you do it on Shabbos, and Yontif as well. If the eighth day falls out on Yontif, so that's the same halacha, one continues to do the bris on Yontif. What about, we pointed out, so that's only a vadai bris milah. That's only if you know for sure that, so the two types of doubt we discussed. If a baby is born during twilight, during the time period between sunset and nightfall, in halacha, That's known as Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, doubtful day, doubtful night. Before sunset, it's definitely considered daytime. At the three stars come out, it's definitely nighttime. What about the time period in between? So that's a doubt in halacha. So if the baby is born Sunday night, after sunset's about 6:17 today, let's call it. So let's assume the baby's born at 6:30 today, and let's say nightfall's not to 7 o'clock. So what do you do? So therefore, you'd have to wait until Monday to do the bris. Why? Because if I do it on Sunday morning, maybe it's only day 7. I'm not sure if it's day 7 or day 8. So it could be it's day 9, but who cares? Day 9's still good. Day 7 doesn't work, day 9 does work, so therefore that's why we have to wait to the next day. However, when it comes to Friday twilight, we have another problem, because day 8, the next day would be Shabbos, and since we're not sure, because maybe it's really day 9, so therefore we can't do a Suffolk bris milah on Shabbos, so if it's a twilight baby born between sunset, that's why it's important to, in general, it's important to look at the no, at least know what time it is, and we could go back and figure out when sunset is later. But it's important to know what time it is, so therefore you know in terms of, I'm not going to get into details, maybe a couple of minutes after sunset will still be good, but in terms of this, fundamentally, you have to know, so if a baby's born twilight Friday afternoon, you can't do the bris on Friday because it might be day 7. You can't do it on Shabbos because we're not sure. It's not definitely day 8, it might be day 9. And if it's day 9, it doesn't work on Shabbos, so we have to wait until Sunday. Another example the Gemara gives is a C-section baby. That the Gemara discusses that, why a C-section baby? Why would I discriminate against a C-section baby? Why wouldn't I do it day 8? So that's because the Gemara says, as a debate in the Gemara, whether it should be day 1 or day 8, because it says, Isha kisazri of a yol dazacha. Only a normal pregnancy, a normal way of conceiving, or I should say a normal way of giving birth, the conception is normal, but the birth is different. It's a C-section, so and biblically speaking, a woman does not become tame after having a boy if it's a C-section. Rabbinically speaking, it's the same. And the Torah says we wait to day 8 because of his first 7 days, we don't want that the husband and wife can't be together, they can't get together until day 8, so therefore we wait to day 8 for the milah. So therefore, a C-section baby, it's a doubt in halacha, should it be day 1 or day 8? So most people don't know, because if a C-section baby is born on Tuesday, we do it the next Tuesday. A C-section baby, most people don't know if it's a C-section baby anyway, except the parents and maybe some close friends. If it happens on Thursday, you do it the next Thursday. That's not the issue. Because if it's day, because the problem is if it's day 1, then you can do it any day after. But if it's day 8, so we have to cover ourselves and wait to day 8. The problem is, again, if the C-section baby is born on Shabbos, then you can't do it on day 8 because maybe really day 1 was the time. And therefore it's not, see, it's two. We need to be a milah. It has to be a vadai milah bizman. It has to be definitely day 8. So in the case of the twilight baby, we're not sure if it's day 8. It may be day 9, so that's why it doesn't work. But a C-section baby, I know it's day 8. But I don't know, but this baby, the milah bizmana, might be day 1, so it's a different type of day. I don't know what day I should be doing the bris, so that's why I can't do the bris on Shabbos. With modern technology, with artificial insemination and in vitro, that raises another question. A baby born through these new, not so new anymore, but the different variations, I knew IVF as it's known, in vitro, the different levels. What about if a baby is born, the couple could not get pregnant through normal means and they had to use scientific means? Does that play a role in terms of having a bris on Shabbos? So the source of the discussion is actually an interesting Gemara in Chagiga, which talks about bathhouse insemination. In other words, the Gemara talks about, what about, the halach is a Kohen, a regular Kohen cannot marry a divorcee, but they can marry an almana, a widow. A Kohen Gadol has to marry a virgin. So the Gemara's question is, could a Kohen Gadol marry a pregnant virgin? Well, what do you mean? I thought you can't be a little bit pregnant. Either you're pregnant, what do you mean a pregnant virgin? So that's what the Gemara talks about. Someone became pregnant through bathhouse insemination. A man was in there before, he emitted some semen, and then a woman, whether scientifically it works or not, you could speak to Noah afterwards. But from the Gemara, and it's a discussion anyway, if the, you know, in terms of, let's put, scientifically it doesn't work, but it's a hypothetical anyway. So therefore, so Rabbeinu Chananel points out that, this type of baby that's born through bathhouse insemination, you cannot do the bris on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a maisenes, it's a miraculous occurrence. That's not the way, it's not the way it should work. You don't become pregnant by going into a bath that someone else was there. So what does he mean by that? Does he mean it was a miracle? Or this means it's not the normative way to become pregnant? What's the difference? Either way, a bathhouse insemination, you can't have the bris. A major difference is in vitro or artificial insemination. That's clearly not a miracle. I mean, everything's a miracle, because as the Ramban writes, you know, the things that happen all the time we call nature, things that happen once in a while we call a miracle, but from our purposes we know how it works. So science tells us how it works in vitro. It's not a nature. We know exactly, if you know science, you know how it works. So if you assume the reason why you can't have a bathhouse insemination bris on Shabbos is because it's a miracle, then in vitro wouldn't be a problem, or artificial insemination. If you assume it's not the normative way of becoming pregnant, it's becoming more and more, but most people still probably become pregnant through the normal means of living with each other. So the effort, it's not normative, so it wouldn't be. So how do we paskin lahalacha? So actually, interesting enough, to my surprise, when I first was doing the sugya, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach goes with the second approach, and he thinks he goes with Rabbeinu Chananel that one cannot do, again, it's no one's business how the wife became pregnant. You could tell them jaundice, you could tell them anything you want. But in terms of discussing it with the Moel and that, he says one should not do the bris on Shabbos, which is a big kiddush, because number one is, the Gemara said about C-section, baby, that's the birth was different. Here the birth isn't different, the birth is normal. So nevertheless, and then Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Herschel Schachter, Rav David Bleich, Rav Mordechai Willig, Rav David Cohn, many of the contemporary poskim advised not to do the bris on Shabbos because they say it's a suffix milo bizmana. On the other hand, for you svardim out there, Chacham Avaji Yosef says it's still a go, and Rav Usher Weiss, who was a big post-Hagen in Eretz Yisrael, he took over for the Tzitz Eliezer, he also thinks it's okay. So that's a major, bathhouse insemination isn't that practical since it can't happen, but in terms of, it's a very major question today in terms of in vitro at IVF as it's known and other types of modern technology. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Wazach, Esizor Rafiqa, Yemen Torah Mitzvah Shenamar, Adonai Chafet, Roman Zidko, Yaldil Torah, V'yadir. Yiskana v'yiskana shmei rabba Yomah divra kusei v'yamlik ma kusei V'yatzmark pukene v'karei